Neil Bernstein is a teen psychologist and author of How to Keep Your Teenager Out of Trouble and What to Do If You Can't. And Dr. Marilyn Maxwell is a professor of internal medicine and pediatrics at St. Louis University and co-author of Questions Kids Ask About Sex, Honest Answers for Every Age. Good morning to both of you. Nice to see you both. So let me just review the statistics. 55% of boys between the ages of 15 and 19 and 54% of girls between those same ages are reported getting or giving oral sex, and the numbers were slightly lower for intercourse among these respondents. You're not surprised, are you?
No.
No, I'm not surprised. In my clinical practice, it's a very common phenomenon in talking to kids, and they take it so casually.
And why do you think that's the case? Do you think it's because this notion of being obsessed with technical virginity, you know, in other words, all the lectures about safe sex and STDs may have resulted in this and staying away from intercourse?
Well, that's part of it. We may have inadvertently created a monster because what a lot of the kids think is, well, going all the way might not be okay, but oral sex is an acceptable alternative. That's not necessarily the message we'd like them to have, but that's the way a lot of the teens view that, and we have to change the basic message.
And the one thing we have to remember is there are definite hazards, health hazards, and STDs can be contracted through oral sex.
Yes, a lot of teens don't understand that. You can get certain sexually transmitted infections, such as syphilis, herpes, gonorrhea. Those can be contracted through oral sex.
And the other thing that we have talked about is that this is not reciprocal. This is mostly girls doing this to boys, and that brings out a whole different subject about girls being submissive, subservient, demeaned by this act, and girls are struggling with this, I understand.
They are. There is an emotional toll associated with oral sex.
Have you found that as well?
Yeah, sometimes. It depends. Certainly girls are more casual, but, you know, a lot of girls unfortunately view it as a way out of a difficult situation.
And some we talked to, and Dr. Bernstein participated in my Teens and Sex special, they actually saw it as empowering in a weird way,
yeah,
and a way that they could actually have control over the situation.
I've got something he wants. How sad to feel that way.
Well, I guess the big question parents are struggling with, myself included, is how do you talk to your kids about this? How do you convince them? You know, it's such a generational thing, too, because people of my generation think, I believe, most of them, I can't speak for my entire generation, that this is a more intimate act in many ways than intercourse. And obviously, everything's been turned on its ear, but how do you talk to your daughters in particular and say, listen, I don't want you engaging in this kind of behavior?
The most important thing is that you do talk, and you talk, and you talk. And parents should be real, and they should tell their children what they would like from them. And they should discuss relationships and intimacy. With oral sex, there's a disconnect between intimacy and a relationship and the sexual act.
Yeah. It's about values, and that's really the job of a good parent, to convey decent morals to their kids. And the other thing I would stress to young people is there really are no shortcuts to intimacy. You just can't achieve it in a few days, no matter what you do, and a lot of kids don't get that. And a lot of kids get hurt very quickly and rebound, et cetera, et cetera. And these attitudes are shaped over the course of time, and parents have to be aware of the power of peer pressure. And a good relationship with your son and daughter counteracts that power of peer pressure, certainly the negative influences of it.
So certainly staying close to your kids in all areas of life, you know, you have to develop that connection to them. So, and also, what about a little healthy fear? I always think that's helpful.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, I stayed pretty straight and narrow because I was afraid of not only my parents' wrath, not that they weren't great parents, but I was always so terrified of disappointing them.
Yeah.
So you do have to set high standards and make them fearful about when they go against those standards, don't you?
But Katie, I think that's so important what you said, setting high standards. Some parents are fearful of telling kids what they want and the standards that they'd like them to have.
They
want
to be their friends instead of a parental, you know, authority figure.
Yeah. Yeah, but there's a difference between fear and guilt, and there's some confusion about that.
Yeah.
Fear is what will happen to you. Guilt is how you'll make another person feel.
Well, I think all those things should be considered when you're making a decision.
When I was a kid, they were telling us, if you masturbate, your hand will fall off.
Anyway,
thank
you so much for the advice. It's a tough subject to deal with in 5 minutes, but thanks so much for trying.
Thank you.